Our scripture lesson for this morning is from a psalm you probably all know or you've heard of it, Psalm 23. And I'm going to be reading from a Bible that belonged to my dad's grandmother, belonged to my great-grandmother. And so this is the old King James version of the 23rd Psalm. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, it's page 392. But this is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are a strange group of people. Those of us who believe and follow a Jewish carpenter from Nazareth named Jesus are an odd group of individuals. We follow a guy who tells us to do things that don't make any sense. Pray for your enemies. Well, that's not right. That's backwards. If you want to be first, you've got to be last. If you want to find your life, you have to lose your life. Well, that's not very comforting. Jesus wants us to believe things that are backwards. They're upside down. They don't make any sense. Jesus tells us the weak are actually the strong. And if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you don't walk your way into the kingdom. You kneel your way into the kingdom. That's just backwards. It doesn't make any sense. Following Jesus means if you want a resurrection, you've got to go through the cross. If you want to see the light, you've got to face the dark. Jesus tells us that real obedience is more important than religious obligation. Well, that's not helpful. We are a peculiar group of people because we believe things and we behave in ways that are completely contradictory to the culture around us. And one of the things that we believe that doesn't make any sense is that our faith, our lives, are always starting at the other end. And one of these places where it's most obvious is in the 23rd Psalm. Charles Spurgeon was a Baptist preacher who lived in the 1800s. And Charles Spurgeon called the 23rd Psalm the Pearl of Psalms. In fact, I think you would be hard-pressed to find anybody who hasn't heard the 23rd Psalm or at least heard of the 23rd Psalm. Now, people might not be able to recite it word for word, but they can tell you the important lines and the gist of the hymn. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me to green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, He is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a place before me in the presence of my enemies, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This pearl of Psalms has comforted and has strengthened people of all ages, all races, all genders. I like to think of the 23rd Psalm as an old friend. An old friend who knows me well and has known me a long time, and I've known a long time. I've got friends like this. I've known Bill since 10th grade. Bill and I, we know all about each other. I know what makes Bill laugh. He knows what makes me laugh. I know how to push his buttons. He knows how to push my buttons. I haven't seen Bill in a long time, but if I were to call him today, we would pick up right where we left off. And so I see the 23rd Psalm as an old friend who checks in on me from time to time and renews my spirit, lifts up my soul, and helps me to go on my way again. And on one occasion, the 23rd Psalm dropped by like an old friend and reminded me that our faith is always starting at the other end. I was leading a Bible study with a group of men, and they asked me to lead the Bible study because I had gone to school and I had the training and I knew about the Bible. And so we decided to spend some time walking through the Psalms. And every week we would look at a different Psalm, and I would come to these Bible studies with enormous knowledge and inspiration. And I'd have a Bible in one hand and my notes dripping of God's inspiration. And I was ready to lead my men into the depths of the Psalms. And they would be wowed and inspired by my enormous knowledge. Why are you laughing? That's not the joke in this sermon. So we would gather, and one day we got together and we were looking at the 23rd Psalm. And now you need to know something about this group of guys. There were a few guys who were very interactive. They would talk and they would discuss and they would dive in and they'd be hungry to soak up more. And then there was a couple other guys who were more quiet, reserved, would sit back and just listen. And one of those guys was Charles. So on the day that we were reading the 23rd Psalm, my Bible was open in front of me, and my notes were in another hand, and I was ready to lead these men into the Psalm. And just as we were about to begin, Charles raises his hand, and he says, can I share something I noticed about the 23rd Psalm? I said, sure, Charles, what did you notice? And he said, when I was reading through the psalm, I noticed that the author uses the word he a number of times. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you're talking and they say something that has absolutely nothing to do with the conversation? And you think to yourself, what does this have to do with anything we're talking about? So I wanted to look at Charles and say, yeah? So what? Who cares about the word he? Can't you see? We are about to embark on a great biblical journey. We are about to do something epic, and you're slowing us down with the word he? But I didn't say that. I said, Charles, tell me why you think that's so significant. And Charles said, I think the focus is not on me being a sheep. I think the focus is on the Lord being the shepherd. I think the focus is not on how I follow. The focus is on how the Lord is leading. I think the focus is on not so much what I do as a sheep. The focus is on what is God doing as a shepherd. Now you have to remember, this is my Bible study. But with one simple observation, Charles stripped me of all my arrogance and all my pride and all my ego. And Charles led us to the greener pastures and fresh waters of Psalm 23. Charles reminded all of us that our faith, our life, is always starting at the other end. It is God who calls us and draws us. It is God who restores our souls, lifts up our spirit, and helps us to go on our way. Our faith, our lives, is always starting with Jesus. It's always starting at the other end. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, we are told that Jesus is the author of our faith. That means Jesus is the initiator. He's the one that starts it. It begins with Him. Faith does not start with me. It does not start with you. It starts with the Lord. John Wesley was the founder of the United Methodist Church, and John Wesley called this prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is the grace that goes before us. It surrounds us. It's always supporting us. It's always working through us. It's always working in us. Sometimes when we are not even aware of it. And then when we do become aware of it, we look back and we go, oh my gosh, God was there the whole time and I didn't even see Him. That's prevenient grace. That's God starting at the other end. The 23rd Psalm says the Lord is a shepherd, but not just any shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And that means you and I are sheep. And I don't know about you, but I'm not so sure I like being called a sheep. I'm not so sure I like being called a sheep. Sorry. Sheep are not the most intelligent animals. They're defenseless. They're dirty. And sheep can get themselves lost very, very easily. Max Lucado, in his book called Traveling Light, writes this. Couldn't David have thought of a better metaphor? Surely he could have. After all, it was David who outran Saul. It was David who outgunned Goliath. Why didn't David choose something other than a sheep? How about, the Lord is my commander-in-chief, and I'm His warrior? Or maybe the Lord is my inspiration, and I am His singer. Or how about, the Lord is my king, and I am His ambassador? Everybody listens when an ambassador speaks. Everybody listens when a minstrel sings. Everyone pauses when a warrior passes by. But who notices when God's sheep shows up? Who cares whether the sheep speaks or sings or acts? Nobody notices. Only one person notices. The shepherd. And that's exactly David's point. I still don't like being called a sheep. They're not the most popular animals. But if I'm a sheep and you're a sheep, that means we have a shepherd. And not just any shepherd. The good shepherd. The good shepherd who knows each of you by name and calls each of you by name. The good shepherd cares more about me and cares more about you than we care about ourselves. When we're tired, malnourished, beaten up, don't know what we're going to do, not sure what direction we're supposed to go in, just want to give up. The Good Shepherd takes us to green grass, and he takes us beside still waters, and he restores our soul. And even when we walk through the darkest, darkest valley, we do not need to be afraid, because he is with us. We don't need to be good enough. You don't need to be smart enough. You don't need to be anything other than a sheep, because it's your job to do the following, and it's his job to do the leading. Our faith is always starting at the other end. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. And even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for he is with me. And his goodness and his mercy will follow me, pursue me, run after me all my days. And I will live in his house and in his presence forever. Amen.